on this 10th day of June 2018 in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California. This is PJ, your internet pastor, talking to you. Wow, look at that. Look at those pictures, will you? The old vet where it stood. Huh? Ah, you see the progress? You see the progress? Right in front of where our building was is going to be a whole set of condos spread the whole block from Jefferson. They're going to use the old iconic Angelus Funeral Home as these apartments, and it's going to be something of beauty. But is that progress? That's what I'm asking. Thank you for coming to my site. Maxwell sings for us. American male singer as he sings to a sweetheart about this reunion. You know what? I wonder what would happen if I put out an all-point bulletin calling for a reunion. You know, who would be, just come out for a dinner. Those that were members of the vet, wherever they are, where that we can meet and just talk about the good times here. The times that the Word of God without compromise was preached at that building. That's what I love about that location so much. And I was coming in from another part of our city yesterday when I drove down Jefferson, and I said, well, let me see what the progress looks like. And then when I saw it, I said, oh my God, is this progress? Is this really progress? I'm trying not to be judgmental, really. Don't want to be judgmental in any way towards anything or anybody, but are we better off for not having that building there and not having the word taught there? I'm thinking along those lines. I guess it's that way with every generation, because the people that were in the original bakery that was facing 35th Street, because Olivet used to face 35th Street, it was an old bakery that the people bought, and I mean, when I think about the history, I have a few pictures that I'm going to put up on the website to show you the history of the vet. I have a lot of pictures, especially from the last hurrah is what I call it, The Last of Us. But wouldn't that be good if there could be a reunion of all of us that attended, not Into the Word Ministries, but the vet? I'm only concerned about the vet. Those of us that attended the vet on Jefferson and then moved to 95th and Broadway. And if you go on a Google map to 95th and Broadway and look at the school that they built there in the place of the Lutheran church that we went to, because the place got too small on Jefferson. It's just darn good memories for me. Brings back wonderful memories of what I believe was love and an opportunity to say, I think, what God wanted me to say. It's interesting. My good friend Alphonse called and asked a question of me and left it on the phone. I haven't taken the time to get back with him, but Alphonse is always asking me questions about the Bible, and I like it. And it kind of spawned some good conversation here as I was trying to answer the question for a young man that was visiting me with the commentaries, the actual Hebrew commentaries. And we got into kind of debate about, well, what, you know, what was it? And I said, well, why don't we do this? Why don't we go to In the Beginning God, Genesis 1:1. And what was thrilling about it is I took him to my Hebrew commentary, and the young man let me explain to him that the original context of this was written in Hebrew, not in English. And it's agglutinative instead of the way we transliterate. And so when he was reading it in Hebrew, he said, it isn't saying the same thing ours is saying. I said, of course not. And I pointed out that in the Hebrew, it puts the pressure of the connotation on God. God is the creator, and what he did, nothing that has to do with man, because I was correcting the young man, and my cousin happened to be here, and she said, well, I think it means to me. And I said, that's where you're wrong. That's where you're wrong, because if, you know, I've said it over the years, if you were never born, what would it mean? See, and it forces one to answer that question. You know, when you go to church, this is Sunday morning, obviously, and you go to church on a Sunday morning, what do you expect to hear? The preacher, you expect to hear the preacher tell you what God has said. Not some colonialization of words put together to capture a group of people and hold them as indigenous slaves to a religious culture that doesn't make sense to the new millennials. I was watching a portion of the series, not Contamination, but some Netflix movie where the end of the world was starting in Atlanta, Georgia, of all places. And they had to go to an old church to get something to help them escape from the corridor or something. And when the people are going into the church, the preacher, and these people were dying of this horrific plague that had hit the corridor of Atlanta, and the preacher was in there quoting the scripture, and all the people were standing in front of him looking for hope, and the actors, there was a line in there saying, oh, look at what they're doing now, let's get what we need and get out of here. It's like, and I won't blame Hollywood, I think I'll blame all of us. There is no acquiescing to God at all and anyway in our future. And when I look at this picture here and know that, and it's going to be some beautiful apartments, I'm sure. Just in a couple of months, it doesn't take long for them to do that. It's going to be, what of all of the preaching of the Word of God that was there? And I know, you know, we can get it tangled up, because you may be saying, oh, John, you think that because you preached there, because you ministered there, that it was all true? I have seen God working in my life, in the life of some good people through that place. I've seen God carry some people through. And I think that the evident token is that, and I was speaking with a young man, and He was telling me about how his father was in the church doing a lot of things, albeit a different church. And now the father is running for his life because he got mixed up with the wrong people. And it's just that there seems to be a lack of power in these people that call themselves Christians. When it comes down to us having to live in order to die for what we believe, we are not inclined. I'm still finding myriads of, I don't know whether I should say myriads. Let me move my mic over here. I don't know whether I should say myriads. I am finding, how can I say it? Many, many people that no longer believe. Excuse me. Many, many people that no longer believe in God in any detail. In any way, we love to celebrate ourselves instead of celebrating God. I must be getting old. That's the first time I ever did that in my life. I was pouring some orange juice and missed the glass. Can you believe it? You can. And they just don't believe in ancient things, things that make sense to my spirit. And what was really wonderful when we were having our debate about the Bible, when God created the heavens and the earth, he looked at it and he said it was good. Alphonse's question to me was, what did he mean by good? And so the young man started to share with me his interpretation, and I said, it doesn't mean that. And my cousin chided in, what do you mean it doesn't mean that? I said, because you're looking at what good means from your perspective, not from the perspective of the ancient writ. If God, I mean, it's like saying, on 6 days God worked, and on the seventh day he rested. What? God doesn't have to rest because he doesn't get tired. He doesn't become exhausted. He doesn't become exasperated like we do as human beings. God doesn't do that. And so what does the text mean? And I was trying to get through to the two people last night. You must do, and that's when I went to my commentaries, the Hebrew text. And you should have seen the eyes of the young man light up, because I call him church boy. He comes out of background, the church, like me. And I know that God is still working, because when I see him working in these young men that has an appetite for the word of God, he said, why are you just now showing me these books? I said, they've been on the shelf all this time. I've been trying to give the books away to so-called preachers, because these commentaries are, but you know what? People got their own attitudes. And so I said, if I'm going to be a preacher, I have to give the correct definition of the term when I stand behind that lectern and that pulpit of that, or when I stand on that platform. It must be correct. And I should not stand on that platform for money, for popularity, for praise, for prestige, or any of it. That's why I'd love to have a reunion of Olivet and see how many people still believe that. I know. I'd probably be surprised to find out that me and possibly this young man would be the only two people that showed up at the banquet. at the reunion, because the Christian church is not inclined to pay attention to things that make sense anymore. I mean, we live in such a fantasy, and I'm kind of glad now, because I was talking about last night also with my cousin. I'm 74 years old, so I think it's time for me to start having these premonitions or these visions kind of things. I think that God is tugging at me, beckoning me to ready myself for departure. And I try to communicate that to people. And of course, people think, oh, John, you don't want to leave here, do you? What? The only reason that I would tell somebody that I do not want to leave this planet or die is that if I were attached to anything here that had more significance or relevance than the idea of God and a place where the souls of men from day one, from Adam and Eve, whomever they were, however they looked, I believe that the first persons on the planet were found in Africa. The evidence turns to that, to be exact, Northern Africa. And with that, I'm pleased to say that I still believe that. I'm not going to change my belief, because the entire society has, because society is progress. And you know what? I'm living in a day and age where everyone has jumped on the bandwagon. Absolutely everyone. Now, I think we're living in a better world today than we were yesterday. I'm happy for the gay rights movement and everything, because they're free to live their way. And if you want to be a colonialized black man, believe in all the stuff that our white slave captors taught us, you can believe that. This is America. You can believe any kind of way you want, just so long as you're not hurting another person, or coming against another person's welfare. I like this part of America, and the millennials are going to help propagate that idea. And fighting that idea. Remember that guy that died yet? That crazy church people that used to go to the funerals of soldiers, gay soldiers or whatnot, and scream out there outside of the church, the funeral home, that the person's going to hell. Well, he died, and that whole movement died. See, and that's why, that's one of the reasons why, anyhow. I think the church was in Kansas somewhere. But that's one of many reasons why many people today, especially, I'm hashtagging the millennials, do not believe in the God that I believe in the way I believe in it. But when you find a young man that believes in it and that says to you, I just want proof that it is true. And so I said, well, you go to these books. And then I asked him to go to the front of the book and look at the people that contributed to writing that. And he found that they were mainly theologues from a European background. But as we were reading some of the commentary that one of these guys wrote, I disagreed with what he wrote. And this young black man disagreed with what he wrote. And he said, I said, that's the Spirit of God working in you. That's how the Spirit of God works. Because all of God's real children knows when he's reading something, even in a book as astute as this, when that's bullcrap. I understand that John MacArthurism has gone to promote a love for President Trump and what he's doing and saying. And we know that that is wrong. Just a second, I want to pause this because I'm getting a phone call. Hold on. Thank you for being patient with me. I just received an invitation to come out to someone's house and to sit by the pool and invite some friends with me, and I just may do that later on. It looks like a wonderful Sunday afternoon. The person was struggling with something that's going on in his life, and he said, you know, I didn't go to church. I said, you don't have to go to church. I said, you can get that settled right there. I said, you just call and ask a pastor, albeit retired, to come out to your home. And I said, I know of scripture that says, cast all of your care on me because I care for you. And I explained to this man, I said, now don't play with this. I know what you're going through. You're going through the preeminent death of a parent. It's hard. But that's a care that you need to give to God because you can't handle that. You can't handle the grieving process, the dying and all of the stuff. You need some help with that. I said, I've been telling you that going to church is useless. Go to God. Go to God, because when you go to church, they're just going to try to, they're going to say, why are you looking like that? And you tell them that, and they're going to gather around you, lay hands on you, start talking smack, this colonialized foolishness that gets you out of your head. We have to get away from that. We have to get away from that. And until we get away from that, and that's why I see that the building is gone at 976 East Jefferson. That building, because that was the day of preparatory to teach people what they could have with God and how they could have it with God. And then you take that with you everywhere. Like the Bible says, the psalmist put it this way, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I'm out here in the world. I'm jet surfing with the millennials. Come on now. They know how to get it done. I'm right there with them. They said, why is your outlook so bright and enthusiastic? I just tell them I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Now, I may forget where that is in the Bible, but they can get in their little Google search and talk in, I can do all things through Christ, and it'll bring the Bible verse up, and they start reading. You don't have to go to church. You need to get a sermon from somebody that knows God, that can meet you right where you are. See, that call was to say, what's going on in town today? Why can't we go out and be a part of something? We're older gentlemen and everything. And I'm saying, because the older I get, the less I want to get up there in the crowds, unless I'm driving around. I know what I have to do, and I'm going to do it. I just wanted to say hello to you and just to ask you, how are you doing, my friends that listen to the webcast? I had one to put up, but it was not, how can I put it? I have to call Cliff, my man in South Carolina, and let him know that he's going to have to sharpen up on the messages that he's sending to me because they're a little bit too gruff. It could be because of the equipment that he's using, and it's not the proper equipment, but whatever it is, we'll get it straightened out. Thank you for coming to my website, and you know the drill. You stay into the Word of God. You when everybody puts it down. There's nothing to no Bible. Don't be listening to John Coleman. John Coleman don't know what he's talking about. Yes, he do. Yes, he does. God bless you. Take care.